It's so loud.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome in to the soothing sounds of the Rye Brown Show. Happy Monday, dudes and dudettes. Welcome in after a great football week and a great baseball week and a great basketball week. It's just a great sports weekend in general. It's time to have a little fun today on the radio broadcast. I am Rob Brown. I know I should have moved my camera around before I gave the entire viewing audience seasickness.
It's happening. The thing I was concerned about.
What's that?
You're starting to have the Bret Hart problem. You're wearing the glasses so much that there's that thing across your face.
Like a tan line?
No, you need to start looking in the mirror when you go home and see it. I mean, it's like you're wearing glasses when you're not wearing glasses.
Like you look at me and you're like, God, that guy looks so cool. I just see him in the glasses all the time now because of how cool and awesome they are.
If you continue to do the sunglasses thing, I wouldn't wear contacts anymore. I'm just saying. It's starting to be noticeable. I was wondering if it would happen because I've seen it happen with other celebrities.
You're trying to scare me out of looking too cool.
No, I'm serious. I am serious. Yeah, go ahead. Let's see you worm.
That's a too cool.
Let's see you worm.
I can't worm. I can do the hop thing though.
Yeah, I mean, starting it. You know how Bret Hart, where he wore those for so long, now it's just there's this thing across his face.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's there.
And now I have now later on. If Captain America Chris Evans down the hall scans my computer, he's going to be like, why did you repeatedly Google Bret Hart face? Why did you repeatedly Google Bret Hart funny thing on face? Can you explain that to me? And the answer is going to be, no, Chris.
I'm guessing there's probably a skin condition involved with it. It has to do with, you know, not getting the same kind of light. And it's not necessarily a tan thing. It's more about your skin being accustomed to, you know.
For the record, and this is true, I don't really wear them that much outside of this building anymore. It's really just for you at this point, Great One. You told me how much you really liked the glasses one day, and I'm like, oh well, I'll make them half of my personality. Sounds like a plan.
Wow, trolling me. I would never do that to you.
What a show we have lined up today, ladies and gentlemen. Plenty of things that we need to get to on the radio broadcast today because the weekend was quite busy. And we got plenty of stuff to get into. We got some new Rob Gronkowski stories that we got to share across the show today. We got the Audio Blitz at 8 o'clock. We got John Blau at 8:40 to talk Clemson ball. The Tigers were on the bye this week, as were the Gamecocks. It was a day where the residents of the Palmetto State were able to rest easy, were able to catch their breath just a little bit, specifically the Gamecock fans. But here's the fun part. USC, the Colt is a coming to town this weekend. The Aggies are coming up with their dork-ass World War II cosplayers to visit Columbia.
Did the Colt win last Saturday?
The Colt won against, racked LSU this weekend. And that should make you a wee bit apprehensive. It's not to say anything bad or negative. Just simply, that's a pretty good football team. And Connor Wegman's a dog. He's a dog. An absolute dude. And you know how very, very infrequently I say nice things about Texas A&M. As I said on the show on Saturday, A&M is one of like two or three fan bases that I'm openly hostile to. I mock them because they're ridiculous. Just absolutely ridiculous. And they did indeed beat the brakes off of LSU this weekend. An LSU team that has already come to Columbia, South Carolina, and taken home a W. Now you got to take on the team that beat them. So we talked about South Carolina. We're going to talk more about this later on in the show. But we talked about South Carolina. And, you know, I thought the games from Ole Miss to Oklahoma, probably the best three-game stretch in terms of improvement of any three-game stretch during the Shane Beamer regime. This to me is the selling point that what's happening in Columbia is real. This weekend against the Aggs is, to me, going to be the evidence that what has happened and what is happening is legitimate, is genuine, is real. Make it competitive. Again, you will notice, why Brandon got to be up in here taking pot shots this early? It is 6:06 in the morning, sir. Dropping a chat in the stream that says, how about those Saints? Yeah, I've been telling you all damn year. You're not offending me, Brandon. You're not insulting me. I watched some of that game, too. It's the first game in a hot minute. I turned it off in the fourth quarter. I didn't care. I'm like, nope. Had a great weekend with the lady friend. Had some family stuff we had to knock out. And then we went out into the woods and did a little camping this weekend. Listened to all the sports via the radio, which was a ball, by the way. I went home yesterday. Got home right in time for the 1 o'clock kicks. Enjoyed the 1 o'clock kicks. And then at, I don't know, about 6 o'clock, I was like, yeah, you know what? This, I'm out. Have a great rest of the run, New Orleans. Have a great rest of the run. I'm at the point now. So I'm coming back to South Carolina. Stick with me here. I'm going to come back to the Gamecocks, but there's something else I like to talk about more, and that's me. Going full T.O. on this. I love me some me. So, am I a bad fan? If this Sunday afternoon in Charlotte, North Carolina, my New Orleans Saints visit to take on the Carolina Panthers, I'm not convinced we can win that football game. To the point that, despite having tickets, despite having parking passes, despite having every convenience of modern life available to me, and because I like my job, all of them free, I still might not go. My own team is playing 2 hours up the road, and I may not go because bleep that.
Yeah, but Rob, you get a chance to hang out with Rashad.
That is true. I have been telling Rashad for like
you have, and I'm sure he's looking forward to it.
Yeah, but what happens if I'm hanging out with Rashad Beard and the Cats get win number two over my garbage ass football team?
Here's the thing. This should be a competitive game because they're both equally bad. So we don't know who's going to win. I mean, you know, don't you want to go see a good game?
Yes, or, I want to go see a good game.
Or
there ain't going to be a good game played in Charlotte this
or
weekend.
Or a game that's such a mess it's entertaining. Because those kind of games do happen.
This is going to be watching a football game the way that watching like Weekend Update on SNL is watching a news show. Is it? Kinda. Like, it's kinda that. It has the loose, it has a concept of a football game. It's like a very loose definition of what that is. Do I want to put 2 hours and 500 or 600 miles on the tires of my vehicle to drag me and the lady friend up to Charlotte on a Sunday afternoon to watch my football team stink against a football team that also stinks? Is that a waste of time?
Here's what you should do is swing on by the Ren Faire before you go over there. Then you have a real reason to go to...
Bro, I may just rather go to the Ren Faire. If I'm going to watch... Like, if I'm going to go hate watch something... That's not even hate watch. If I'm going to go watch somebody get their ass kicked, it might as well be like a medieval knight in a jousting contest, not my garbage-ass football team. We're so bad, even Spence Rat Daddy Rattler can't save us right now. Just absolute booty cheeks out of my team right now. Am I a bad fan? And I haven't made a decision yet, and I'm not going to make a decision. It's Monday. Game's not till Sunday. But am I going to be a bad fan if I wake up Sunday and the lady friend says, are we ready to go to Charlotte? And I go, no, I'm not ready.
You haven't been to any games this year, right?
I have actually not been to any football games this year. That is correct.
And you have the opportunity to do all that. You're going to go.
I don't know, dog. Like, I'm not even, okay, I'm going to pull the jokes down. This is serious, Rob Brown. I don't know if I want to go. I'm not saying I am not going. And realistically speaking, the likelihood, the tickets are already in hand. The parking passes are already in hand. I don't have to fight. Like, the only thing I got to do is fight traffic. I got a parking pass in the garage connected to the stadium or like right across from the stadium. The tickets are already in hand. Like, everything is done with the exception of the drive up. And yet, even with all that done, I'm like, I have one day off a week because I do a 4-hour show on Saturdays. I also work multiple hockey games a week. Like, I've got this show. I've got all the work we got to do after the show's over. I got hockey. I got the Saturday show. Triumph in the playoffs, so I got another Triumph game to go to, at least one more at the house. I got all this stuff to do. I have one day to sit on my couch and not wear pants. I got one day to sit at home with the wife and just enjoy my life not working. One day, 24 hours, where I don't have to do a damn thing. Do I want to sacrifice that to drive to New Orleans to watch Dennis Allen?
You're not driving to New Orleans. You're driving to...
Excuse me, Charlotte.
Yeah. There's a, because New Orleans, that's a little bit further drive.
Oh, I want you to know where I am right now.
I'm not sure you know where you are right now.
After week two, remember when the Saints were good for like 2 weeks? Remember that? Remember when Derek Carr and the gang were putting 40 spots up on the field? Remember when we went to Dallas and put 41 on them, 47 on Carolina in week one? Do you remember? At that point, the lady friend and I were that was leading up to the wedding. The lady friend and I were having a conversation. And this was pre the wedding, and we were trying to figure out what the honeymoon plan was going to be. All right, there's a point to this story. Stick with me. We were trying to figure out what the honeymoon plan was going to be. And I said, what if we go to we're going to be in St. Augustine. What if we pop on over to Disney World? What if we pop on over to Epcot? It's food and wine fest. And on my list of favorite things, food and wine are like two of them. So what if we pop on over to Epcot? And she said, that's a possibility. I don't know, though. I don't know how it's, we'll see how we feel. That's going to be a long week. Are we going to want to go through all the stress and chaos of the wedding and then go jump into friggin' Disney World? And I was like, all right, we'll back burner it. I said, but I really want to go to Star Wars Land. And we're going to be ever so close. Rob wants to, because he's a gigantic nerd, Rob wants to go drop like $300 to build his own customized, personalized lightsaber. And I think that's an understandable decision if we're keeping it a buck. So I said, I want to go to Star Wars Land. I want to build my own lightsaber. I want to go through the Jedi Academy. I want to do all this stuff. And she said, well, you do turn 40 next year. She said, if we don't make it now, what if we go down there next February for your birthday? And I said, I accept. She said, there's only one reason we wouldn't go. And I said, why? And she said, if the Saints make the Super Bowl, because she's converted. I've won her over. All right. She is buying her own Saints memorabilia on Amazon now. Got herself a new hoodie for the weekend.
Oh,
immediately
no.
Took it
you
right back off.
You guys have only been married a couple months and you're already wearing matching clothes.
We're bleeding
over. Oh, no.
We're bleeding
over.
Oh, no. We're there. We're there. Dude, we're goofy as hell. We've been doing that since the beginning. So she said the only way that we don't go there for your birthday is if the Saints go to the Super Bowl, in which case I will figure out a way for us to afford Super Bowl tickets. And I said, that's why I married you. I accept. Remember that when we were being considered, not by me, but by like the talking heads on the big channels, and they were going, these Saints are legitimate. These Saints are good. These Saints ain't a joke anymore. Dennis Allen's figured it out. Remember that, and remember how we have not won a football game since then?
Yeah, I don't remember. That all sounds like fiction to me.
It was 2 friggin' months ago. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. So you can come up in here with your jokes there, Brandon, all right? Trust me, nobody appreciates you more than me showing up at 6:06 in the morning and being like, watch this. I'm going to set him off. Tank the whole segment, by the way. Good job, Brandon. Tank the whole segment.
No, Brandon, he was going to do this eventually anyway. So it's good to get it out of the way.
Shows up 6:06 in the morning, goes, watch this. I'm going to ruin his day before it starts. Nailed it. So am I a bad fan? Because I hate my hate. I am actively not like I'm bummed out about the season. Not like, oh, well, this isn't going the way I'd hoped it would. No. I actively dislike my football team. I feel like an Eagles fan right now. They showed the game. The game's on the TV. It's like fourth quarter. The LA Chargers. The Chargers. The rebuild. Are just dog walking our asses up and down the field. And they, at one point, they turn the camera and they're like, here's Dennis Allen trying to make... And I'm like, don't bleep Dennis Allen. And everyone on his coaching staff except Clint Kubiak. And I'll tell you my... none of you care about this. I don't care. You're my therapist right now. All right? You're just going to have to deal with it for a few more seconds and then we'll go to break. I have bought all in. I've got a friend of mine down in New Orleans who covers the Saints, like in locker room reporter for the Saints. And he and I text back and forth. And I said, like 2 weeks ago, I was like, bro, what the hell is happening right now? And he said, do you want the reporter answer or do you want my answer that I don't want to be quoted for saying? And I said, yes. And he said,
you're about to quote him, though.
I'm not going to say his name.
Okay, all right.
I'm not going to say his name. I'm not going to tell you who it was. Just please know that if you are a Saints fan, you know this person. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. So, he said the reporter answer is, the Saints have been remarkably unlucky when it comes to injuries at key positions to two players, and it has thrown the long-term chemistry off because, you know, you're missing two or three pieces here, and you might get one back the next week, but then you lose this guy, and you got this guy, and you got this guy, and you got this guy, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. It's been remarkably unlucky, and they have not been able to adapt. And I said, okay, what's your answer? What's the answer you don't want me to tell people? I got it from you. And he said, after 2 weeks when the Saints were putting up 40 spots back-to-back and everybody said, oh, this team's real, Dennis Allen got his feelings hurt that everybody was giving credit to Clint Kubiak, so he stepped up and he took over everything. He basically said, hey, Kubes, this is what we do now. We don't do it your way. We do it this way.
Sounds like an excuse. It really does.
You think it's an excuse when the head coach goes to an offensive coordinator and goes, I am in charge now?
I wasn't there. So, and neither were you. It sounds like an excuse for a team.
He was.
It sounds like an excuse for a team that's not, that's doing poorly.
Yes.
It really does.
Lonzo, when a team's doing poorly, there's a reason. And the reason is what we talk about. And the reason here is that I got an egomaniac of a head coach with a less than 33% career winning percentage who's out there telling the one guy in the building who's actually good at his job, I'm taking your responsibilities away. And would you look at that? All of a sudden, we can't score 7 points.
Are you changing the rat daddy off of your... Have you removed that yet?
I changed it, but only because I had to get
Wait.
I have a very good reason for it. I changed it not because of Rat Danny. I changed it Saturday because I had Steve Garvey on my show on Saturday, and I needed a picture of a screenshot of the screen with me interviewing Steve Garvey, a 10-time Major League Baseball All-Star and World Series champion.
You benched the name just like the player.
I did what?
You benched the name.
No, I didn't.
Just like the player.
I didn't do anything. Again, Dennis Allen, you suck at your job. On site, bro. Hey, we'll talk about y'all's football teams when we come back. Now that Brandon and Lonzo decided, let's ruin Rob's day out of the gate. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. All right, we've gotten my stuff out of the way. Here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate, let's get your stuff out of the way, Upstate South Carolina. Let's start with this. The phone lines are open right now. The Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone is 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E, 844-326-3663. The text line is open at 71307. 71307. If you'd like to get at us in that direction, shoot us a text and start that text with the word fan, F-A-N, fan, and we will read them on the air.
Is meltdown one word or two?
It's just one.
Okay, I was just checking.
It's just one word. In fairness, Eric, Eric responded and said, "Don't worry about it, Rob. I'm going to ruin Cole's show this afternoon. Hashtag Cowboys suck." No, I know. Like, Cole and I are about to start a support group, except for we both hate each other's team. So it's actually going to make it worse now that I think about it. Never mind. Cancel the support group. We don't need it. 71307 is the text line. Start your text with fan, F-A-N, and we will read them on the air.
I just want to say my team will lose eventually. They can't win them all.
We can't win them all.
They can. They can. I mean, it's not, it's, I guess it is possible, but it's very unlikely.
We can't win them all. My team is team 7-0. I don't know what it feels like to be you.
I don't get what you're doing now. That's just weird.
I'm saying your smart castery is unnecessary. It's unnecessary right now. Some of us are beaten, downtrodden, laying in the depths, in the ditches of NFL fandom. And here's Chiefs fans Lonzo like, "Hey, Rob, don't worry. I'm sure one of these days I'll feel what it's like to lose a game. Not six of them, but one, maybe two. We'll see." You were playing the Raiders. What a joke. What a joke.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to talk the rest of the NFL. 71307 is the text line. Tweet me at the Rob Brown Show. Tweet Lonzo at Lonzo on Word. And don't forget about the Ray Memorial. I'm going to tell y'all the truth straight up. Y'all aren't using the Ray Memorial Hotline for its intended purpose. All right? You're just not. The Ray Memorial Hotline is right there for you. You go to the Odyssey app. You search the Fan Upstate, and on the middle of the Fan Upstate page, there's a little circle button with a microphone on it that allows you to drop a 60-second voice note that comes directly to the Great One and I. You're telling me that I've spent all this time telling you, you can utilize it 24/7, 365, anytime, day or night. You can be in any mental or physical condition that you wish. I don't care. And you can leave a 60-second voice note at any point in time. And you're telling me y'all don't use it for anything more than the one guy last week who said, "Hey, Rob, I'm eating a hot dog. It has chili on it, but it's still a hot dog." That's the most entertaining voice note I've gotten on the Ray Memorial.
Wait a minute. So they're spreading lies on the hotline?
Oh,
because that's a lie. It's not true. If you buy a hot dog and it has chili on it, it's a chili dog. And the restaurant that sold it to you, they should be making more money, and they're not.
We went Saturday night. We went out camping with the brother-in-law and sister-in-law. Her brother-in-law and sister, are they both my brother-in-law and sister-in-law now? I don't know how that works. I know that the way I set it up sounded very Roll Tide.
Just call it family.
It sounded very Jamie Lannister.
Went out with the family.
Went out camping with the wife, sister, and brother-in-law. And as we were out there, you know, I built us a big fire and we were roasting hot dogs. And the sister, who is a lovely person and I adore her, said, Can you hand me a weenie? Now, no problem with calling them weenies. None at all. But I, you know, roasted her one and I put her on the bus and said, here's your hot dog. And she looked at me and I was like, why are you staring at me? And she said, it's not a hot dog. And I went, no, I'm not doing this. We're in the woods. We're in the woods. It is 11:30 at night on a Saturday night. I'm not having this fight. And then we had that fight for 30 minutes. It's a hot dog. It's a hot dog.
And you won. I mean, you won before the argument started.
No, because these people refuse to acknowledge they're wrong.
Well, that doesn't mean they're wrong. I mean, you can shout it to the heavens. It doesn't mean you're right.
No, I agree with you. I'm just saying they're not going to give up the fight. And you know me. I am one obstinate son of a... So I'm not giving it up either. I'm hard-headed too. All right? All right. So, let's talk about your stuff. Did we see anything out of Bryce Young that we liked? I mean, granted, the Denver Broncos, it turns out, and I do want
to... He throws real well to the other team.
Okay. There it is. I knew it was coming. Two picks, two tutties on the day. We can't come in here and say, hey, BY hit a couple of very nice passes for touchdowns, including a slant.
To Xavier Leggett,
who then broke out a 55-yard Dollar Bill Ride the Horse Tutty celebration, which was absolutely spectacular. That man is a national treasure and should be protected at all cost, no doubt. But, really nice pass on the slant. Had a couple of big throws down the sideline. Dropped one into the breadbasket of Jalen Coker. That was a dime down the sideline that only Coker could go get. There was the pass that was overthrown for an INT. Wasn't overthrown. Yeah, wide receiver had to go up and elevate it. But the wide receiver had to go through hands and ended up a pick. That should not have been a pick. Should have been a two tutty, one interception day. Honestly, should have been probably three tutties. There were a couple of other moments that I'm like, maybe that one pops, maybe it doesn't. I was encouraged. What if Rashad Beard and me have, we've been saying it all year long. I'm not looking for you to go win football games right now. I know that to the casual fan, you go, well, that's real dumb, Rob. No, it's not. No, it's not. Because the reality is you don't overnight go from bad team to good team. It is a process that takes a hot minute to get there.
Are you surrounded by people who talk like this? Because, that's your voice for everybody who's not you.
Well, I can't give someone a cool voice that I'm then going to disagree with. Well, somebody walked in here and sounded
like... Give them like a high squeaky voice or something. I mean, let's vary it. I mean, you know.
Well, Rob... Your take is terrible.
No, that doesn't work. That is a cool voice.
It was like when the Rock imitated Triple H. I am the game, and my take is good.
You just sound like Macho Man trying to do that.
Oh yeah, I was encouraged. Not like, oh hey, they did it. Hey, Bryce is good now. No, I was encouraged. I said, all right. There's a couple of dots. That looks like a guy who maybe has a little bit more confidence in the rocket launcher.
All right, I decided I was not going to put myself through that, so I just watched Red Zone. So I only saw when they were in the Red Zone. So I missed some things.
But you saw the inside slant pass to Leggett that hit him right in the face.
I did.
Yeah.
Obviously, I saw some things. Yes.
What you may have missed was the, like I said, a dart down the sideline to Jalen Coker that was like, oh, hell, he can do it. I was encouraged because, again, you don't go from bad to good overnight.
As last season has shown us, he can throw the ball well about five times in a season. There was like number two this year. Good for him. It's unfortunate, but it's pretty accurate.
You're sheer...
Unlike him.
Your sheer pessimism and negativity is really bringing down the mood. All right? Really bringing down the mood here, Lonzo. You're being a real buzzkill right now. Real buzzkill. There's some good there. There's some optimism. There's some hope. There's some, oh!
How is there optimism there and there isn't in New Orleans? Yeah, so do the Panthers.
All right, when we come back, I am going to try again to convince Alonzo that BY's got a little something in the bottle. We got to work to bring him out.
And you're going to get to the phones. Hang on, Dale. We're late.
Dale, I see you're there. We're going to talk about what you want to talk about next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Damn, really? First hour on a Monday?
Yeah.
Woof. One of my favorite things about doing radio is when you guys call the show. Do it more often. 844-FANFONE. That's 844-326-3663. I'm a people person. I like talking to the people. So call the show, 844-FANFONE. One of my favorite things about when people call is that Lonzo puts on our little call screening software. Who's calling? And like just a bullet point about what they want to talk about. And my favorite thing is always to say, I wonder what their angle of attack is going to be here. I wonder what the take is going to be. Sometimes I don't have to guess. So when Dale calls the show and says he wants to talk about Dak Prescott, I'm just going to sit back because I'm relatively sure, could be wrong, relatively sure I know where Dale is going to go. Dale, welcome to the show, big fella. How we doing, buddy?
Good morning, man of the people.
Man of the people.
He said men, but I mean, of course, you would only think of you. All right. Continue, Dale.
All right. What is the chances that Dak Prescott takes away the 30 INT interception record from Jameis Winston this year?
I got to tell you.
I believe he's on pace for that.
I want you to know, Dale.
I don't know. Patrick Mahomes has thrown an interception in every single game, I think.
Patrick Mahomes leading the league. Dale, here's what I'm going to say. First off, I wish I was as good at anything as Dak Prescott turns into in a fourth quarter game where his team's getting their asses kicked and suddenly he decides he wants to be a stat padder. It's pretty impressive. I don't know the answer. Can I tell you my biggest fear for you, Dale? I'm assuming you're a Cowboys fan. Is that correct?
Of course I am, and Cole Bryson's going to hear it too.
Okay. All right. Here's my biggest fear about Dak Prescott for you and Cole Bryson. My biggest fear is at the end of the year, JJ, your general manager, Jerry Jones, who has been spectacular at his job, decides it's time to make a move. And he trades Dak Prescott and he sends him on down the road. And Dak's going to go somewhere else and be a Pro Bowler, because if the Cowboys think the only issue they got is Dak Prescott right now, Dale, you're going to learn something the hard way if JJ doesn't make some changes, which, as I've said many times, Jerry Jones has entered Al Davis territory. That territory where you can't be good until he dies, because he ain't going away any other way.
I agree with you. It's not solely Dak. I think the biggest mistake was not giving Derrick Henry a phone call.
I mean, yeah. You ended up in a spot where you let Tony Pollard go after the year he had last year. Derrick Henry is not just out there and available, Dale, but he actively was saying, I'm interested. Can you imagine the hell you would give your boy if you guys were out one night and like a 10 of 10 walked up to him at the bar and was like, I'm interested in you taking me home. And he fumbled that. He never heard the end of it. And Jerry Jones should not either, which is why I found it so damn hilarious a couple of weeks ago when one of the radio dudes in Dallas was like, hey, JJ, why are you bad at your job? And Jerry's response was, oh, this is all the media's fault. Like I said, Dale, you got bigger problems than just Dak Prescott. I'm not saying he's not one of them, but you got a lot of problems that are above the Dak Prescott level that are preventing you guys from getting anything going.
Agreed. Now, let me ask you this. With the amount of money that is tied up into that quarterback and receiver combination, should those two not be able to carry a team into wins instead of throwing the game away early? They're already one-dimensional. So why is it he turns it on in the fourth when we already know you're one-dimensional, you're going to drop back, you're going to throw 55, 60 times a game?
Typically because you guys are trailing in the fourth, and so defenses aren't blitzing. They're not doing anything exotic. They fall back into a base defense, 3-4-4-3, whatever it is they're running, but they're rushing four, right? Like, it basically becomes a situation where, at least in my opinion, and I think this was true about the San Francisco game last night, I watched midway through the third quarter, I bailed and went to bed. From what I saw, San Francisco was utilizing a lot of different blitz techniques from a lot of different places. It was safeties off the edge. It was cornerbacks up the middle. It was extra linebackers dropping a DN into coverage to bring extra heat from one side to the other. There were like a lot of different looks that San Francisco was giving you guys. And the problem is not, it's not even just Dak under pressure. The problem is your running backs don't scare anybody at all. I'm sorry. The fact that you have Ezekiel Elliott back there as one of your two starters is that, that's all I need to say. I'm going to stop everything I'm saying, Dale, and go and say Jerry Jones thought Ezekiel Elliott, who wasn't good enough for the New England Patriots, was the solution to this offense's problem. And oh, by the way, Mike McCarthy's still calling the plays. I don't understand your team, Dale. That's not true. I do understand your team. Your team is run by an egomaniac of an owner who thinks that his way is the only way and his way is the right way, and it hasn't been the right way for the better part of, what, 25 years now?
Sounds about right. All right, one more for you. What about the ending to that Chicago-Washington game, huh?
Sir, if you think that I don't have a whole segment drawn up, and I appreciate the phone call, Dale, great to talk to you this morning, buddy. If you don't think that I have an entire freaking segment ready to go about the absolute sheer chaos that was Jaden Daniels being him with a capital free... Okay, in fairness, Jaden Daniels didn't lead the offense to a single touchdown until that. But, the legend grows nonetheless.
By the way, Dak Prescott's in second place as far as interceptions go. There's a three-way tie at first for that, and that would be Baker Mayfield, Patrick Mahomes, and Jordan Love. They all have 9. Dak has 8.
Do me a favor, Lonzo.
One of the more accurate quarterbacks in the league with only one interception, Justin Fields. Just saying.
I am. What? He's also got one of the... What's his passing attempts compared to those guys? About a quarter? About a fourth of them? You said Baker Mayfield, whose Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a half game off their division lead. You said Jordan Love, whose Green Bay Packers are a half game off their division lead in the most gnarly division in football right now. And who was the last one? Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah.
He quarterbacks an undefeated, the only undefeated, a 7-0 football team. So if Dak Prescott is second, to three guys that are no more than a half game off the pace in their division. And if it wasn't for the New York freaking Giants, the Dallas Cowboys would be last in their division. Again, I am not, N-O-T, not making the argument that Dak Prescott isn't a problem. Dak Prescott is a problem for sure. I think Dak Prescott, however, has some other problems. As I said, coming into this year for the Dallas Cowboys, who the hell's your playmaker? You got CeeDee Lamb. You got Tony Ferguson, a tight end. Having a good tight end that you can turn into a bona fide, genuine, certified superstar is a phenomenal asset. But if I ain't scared of anybody else, I can take a tight end out of every play. That's easy. Hey, Mike linebacker. Nope, sorry. Hey, Sam linebacker. Strong side, left side. Hey, Sam linebacker, you see that guy right there, the tight end? I'm going to need you on him like stink on a turd today. Don't you let him get away from you. That's real easy. That's because there's no other threats anywhere else. I got to worry about CeeDee Lamb and Tony Ferguson because I got to tell you right now, I ain't worried about Ezekiel Elliott. And that is the football team that Jerry Jones half built. And then whenever anybody, and I don't think you need to be a holder of a master's in knowing of ball to diagnose what the hell's wrong with the Dallas Cowboys. And if you do that, which, you, again, you don't have to be, if you do that, JJ will blame it on you. I'm sorry, Jerry. Once again, who signs the contracts? Who does the negotiating? Who does the roster building? You have for many, many years taken great pride in the fact that you're the biggest, smartest football boy in any room, haven't you? Don't you regularly tell people that nobody can do what you can do, Jerry? Nobody understands that team and that market and that brand like you do, right, Jerry? Ladies and gentlemen, the mark of the worst kind of leader is the person who, when bleep hits the fan, immediately starts to blame every single one around them. Like a couple of weeks ago when JJ was on the radio and he told two hosts who had the audacity to say, "Hey, Jerry, why is your team bad?" And he said, "Oh, blah, 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 blah. This is the media's fault. It's you guys spinning these false narratives and it's bright." Shut up, dude. When you make yourself the general manager, you have to answer questions about general managing. Jera, when you make yourself the GM and you're the one that's in charge of all the things, you're the one that has to answer the questions when the things are not good. And right now, the things are not good, Jera. The things are not good. You lost by a score last night. I don't know how much, if any, of that game you watched before laying your sweet head down to sleep, Lonzo. A 30-24 scoreline has absolutely no indicativeness of the ass-whooping San Francisco put on Dallas last night.
Yeah, I fell asleep watching it. I did have it on, but
that was the correct decision.
Yeah.
Correct decision. San Francisco.
Do you do that and then try to figure out how the TV got turned off? Because I don't... No,
I got a sleep timer on my TV.
Yeah, I don't want to do that because if I do that, then I'll stay awake past the timer.
No,
because my brain would be like, "Time's coming up. Time's coming up. You need to be asleep. Why are you not asleep? You should be asleep because timer's getting ready to run out. And then what's going to happen?" So I can't do that.
You ever seen a therapist about potential anxiety issues?
It's not anxiety. It's overthinking, and my brain won't stop working. So it's better to go to sleep while relaxing.
Or ADHD. That's a strong possibility.
Or
as someone who is clinically diagnosed.
Or the fact that much of my life is spent with time and timing things out and knowing what time it is. And so because I know what time it is, I know when the popcorn's done. I know if I set something for 5 minutes, I can walk in there with 2 seconds left. I know all that. So if I set a timer, my brain automatically knows when it's almost time for that time to be up.
That's obsessive compulsive.
No, time is my job. It is my job.
Right, but you understand the reason you might be good at it is because maybe you're ADHD.
I wasn't good with time until I started
working radio. Until you got this job?
So I started working on radio and it became my job. Yes.
Okay. It's just curiosity.
You, on the other hand, not good with time. So, I mean...
Real bad with time.
So you don't understand
me. That's why I'm on this side. Good with loud noises, bad with watches. It just is what it is. Jerry, your team's bad. And it's kind of your fault.
Yeah, but they're not that... I mean, they're not Panther Saints bad. They're just...
Hey, at the end of the year, I don't think Jera is going to hang a banner in Jerry World that says 2024 Dallas Cowboys, not as bad as the Saints.
It's okay. It's all right. Dion will be moving up next year, and he'll be the Dallas Cowboys coach, and we'll see what happens.
I want to push back and say that's a terrible idea, but Colorado's in the top 25 now.
Yeah, and one of his sons will be graduating, not both of them, so maybe he sticks around till the other one graduates. I doubt it, though.
Shador's out next year.
Yeah, so, you know.
Shador's out next year, and...
gets drafted in the late round by the Dallas Cowboys, and suddenly you've got a new
I'm glad you brought that up. I really am. Because I have a question generated by the legendary Todd McShay. And we're going to talk about that coming up in about, we'll call it 20 minutes. But when we come back, the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this a.m. and start talking sports with your coworkers. Stories you need to know in the world of sports. We got something else for that. Lonzo is about to flash you.
Hey, check this out. Bryce Young's non-triumphant return as a starter for the Carolina Panthers resulted in a 28-14 loss on the road to the Denver Broncos. Young finished the day 24 of 37 with two interceptions and two touchdowns to Xavier Leggett, and rookie Jalen Coker. The Carolina Panthers play the Saints at home this Sunday. Going to be a barn burner. San Francisco 49ers dominated the Dallas Cowboys last night, though a couple of late touchdowns kept it close with a 30-24 final score. San Francisco racked up 223 total rushing yards and held Dallas to 56 and picked off Dak Prescott twice. Make sure you tune in this Friday at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels head to Bowling Springs to take on the Bulldogs. It's Burns versus Bowling Springs right here on your home for Burns Rebels football. It's us. It's the Fan. Upstate.